Okay. Our next presentation this morning is there's been a little bit of a change from the program that you have. Our next speaker is Chuck Shanak. It was supposed to be Barry Miller, but he was unable to make it. Chuck is the senior VP of Pennsylvania Ops for CONSOL Energy, I guess CNX Resources now. And he's got a little more than 38 years in the coal business. He's a mining engineer for Penn State. And his presentation this morning, he's going to talk about the Harvey Mine and the Bailey Complex. So how about a warm welcome for Chuck?
Good job, Brett. Thanks, Steve. Morning, everybody. For those of you out here who expected to hear Jimmy Brock speak today, you have my apologies. He's not here. For those of you who thought it was going to be Barry Miller, whose name's on the board out there, you have my apologies, because he's not here. For those of you who know me and have heard me speak before, you have my apologies. You get to hear me again. Okay, so what I'd like to talk to you about this morning is the integration of our newest mine in the Pennsylvania operations, the Harvey Mine. But to understand the Harvey Mine, you really have to understand the Pennsylvania operations, how it all originated. So we'll go ahead and get started. I'll give you a little rundown of what I'll speak about today. First, we'll talk about where the mines are located, talk a little bit about the history of the operation, which there's quite a bit, talk about the actual Harvey Mine project and getting the mine up and running, and then maybe look out to the future a little bit and see what's left to do in the Pennsylvania operations. Starting out with a little bit larger scale map, the eastern United States, you can see the yellow pin up there in the corner, southwest corner of Pennsylvania. That's the location of the Pennsylvania operations and the Bailey Central plant. A little view of the reserve base and where the mines are actually located, give you some tied in with some cities in the near distance. You look down in the right-hand corner there, Area A. When we finish the reserves up, the reserves stretch out to within 2 miles of the town of Waynesburg. Moving around to the bottom of the screen, about 20 miles to the southeast is Morgantown. Out to the west, over on the left-hand side of the map, about 8.5 miles to Wheeling. And up in the top right-hand corner, about 4.5 miles from the town of Washington, PA. Bringing that a little bit into better perspective, here's a little bit of a geography map of the southwest corner of Pennsylvania. We have a pointer by any chance. Does this thing work?
Yeah.
Which button is it, you know? Middle one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, just to, boy, that ain't married. Can you guys see that dot? Okay. That's the western state line of Pennsylvania, West Virginia right here. There's Interstate 70 running across PA, Interstate 79 running to the south. The star you see is the Bailey Central plant. It's the same place where all three coal mines were started. First mine to be started in the complex was the Bailey Mine, April of 1984. Those dark red areas are areas of the reserve that has been previously mined out. The outlined red areas are the current reserves that are assigned to the Bailey Mine. Currently, from this point on, 254 million tons of clean coal reserves. The blue color is the Enlow Fork Mine, started in April of 1990. As you can see, started from the same exact area as the Bailey Mine, actually used the same portal facility to get in the coal mine. The dark blue shaded area are the mined out areas of the Enlow Fork Mine. The outlined blue area are the reserves assigned to Enlow Fork, 322,800,000 clean tons. Harvey Mine, the third mine in the complex, started in January of 2009 at CM Development. The purple shaded area is the mined out areas of the Harvey Mine. As you can see, just a small area right in here. And the outlined purple are the assigned reserves to the Harvey Mine, just over 208 million clean tons. Total reserves for the PA ops to date remaining, 785 million clean tons. In April of 2010, the Crabapple Slope and the 4.2 miles of overland belts were completed, which allowed us to seal off a large portion of the Bailey Mine. As you can see, this whole top area was sealed off. In January of 2014, the Oak Springs Slope was completed at Enlow Fork, along with 5.5 miles of overland belts back to the prep plant that allowed us to seal off a large area of the Enlow Fork Mine. first quarter of this year, a large portion of the Bailey Mine was also completed, the 4 South area, which allowed us to seal off the 4 South area of the Bailey Mine. All those seals are 120 PSI seals. So what it's done for the operation, as you can see, it's turned us from a large area, both Enlow and Bailey, that had to be maintained and examined on a daily basis, and cut us down to a very small size at both Enlow, both walls moving, mining to the north here. Bailey, we got a wall out in the west and a wall out in the east. Okay. Just to give you a quick overview of the mines, the Bailey Mine, the Enlow Fork Mine, both have 2 operating long walls. Actually, Enlow has 3 right now. With the geology we have, we run 3 long walls at one time. Those 2 mines each have 8 continuous miner sections. The Harvey Mine has 1 long wall and 4 continuous miner sections. As you can see, the outline of the area, about 17 miles to the east and the west, 22 miles to the north and the south, pretty much takes up the entire southwest corner of Pennsylvania. Kind of getting back to the beginning, the reserve base, the original reserve base was 262 million clean tons. That was in 1965. The Manna reserves were added in 1977. The Alexander reserves in 81. The Berkshire reserves in 85. Penn Central in 93. Greenhill, which is the basis for the Harvey Mine, in 95, 220 million clean tons. And then the Drummond and some Mine 84 reserves between 96 and the present. Brings us to a total of 1.25 billion clean tons of coal, 472 million that have been mined, 786 million clean tons remain in the reserve. Starting kind of at the beginning, we talked a little bit about the mines. This is an early picture of the Bailey Central plant. You can see the plant at the top of the hill, originally one circuit plant. The area B that is marked is the original plant feed belt coming from the coal mine. You can see the lone clean coal silo off to the left, area C. You can also see, it's hard to see in the picture, but you can see, if you look, this is the train loadout area, not yet complete. When the mines were started, the Bailey Mine originally put all the coal that was mined up on a valley north of the original portal area. That coal was stockpiled for about 6 months before the prep plant was up and running. Continuous miner development started in April. The prep plant started in September, October of 1984. Just looking at the progression of the plant through the years, starting out in 1984, one circuit plant, 1A, 940 ton per hour capacity. Shipped that year 1.1 million tons. In 1991, with Enlow Fork coming online, Plant 2 was built, had 2 circuits, Plant 2 and Plant 2B, 2A and 2B, 3,100 tons per hour capacity. In 99, with longer faces, wider faces, upgrades to equipment, there was a need to increase the capacity. Plant 1B was built, 5,300 ton per hour capacity, tons shipped that year, 19.6 million. 2004, again, due to just increases in productivity and efficiency, there was a need to upgrade the plant once again. Plant 2C was added, 6,300 ton per hour capacity, shipped that year 20.8 million. And the plant pretty much stayed in that phase for about 10 years. There were some small upgrades made throughout that time, but basically ran at that pace for those 10 years. When the Harvey Mine was put on the board, in order to satisfy the tons that were going to be produced at Harvey, plus continual improvement at the other 2 coal mines, the final upgrades to the plant were done, completed in 2013 to get the plant to 8,200 clean tons per hour. And the ship tons are from 2014, 26.1 million. The plan, as you can see, is made up of 2 separate plants, plants 1 and 2. There's a feed belt for each one of those plants. There are 2 separate circuits in plant 1 and 3 separate circuits in plant 2. Okay, any of those circuits could be shut down at one time for repairs if needed, and they could all be run together. Basically, the coal is drawn out of the silos from each mine, blended by sulfur from each mine, and then as it comes out of the plant, it's put into separate clean coal silos, and as it's drawn out of those clean coal silos, it could again be blended for sulfur. And basically, that's all we blend for is sulfur. And we try to do as little as possible, because at times it could reduce our efficiencies, but we have the ability to do that when it is necessary. looking at the plant today, pretty close to today. You can see how it's changed if you, you know, if you remember from the previous picture. Looking up on top of the hill is the plant facility up here in Area A. Okay, down below, you see the six raw coal silos. It's two silos here basically dedicated to Enloe, these two silos to Bailey, and these are our newest raw coal silos for the Harvey mine. Up on top of the hill, we have six clean coal silos. And you can see in this picture also, the train loadout, trains on are getting loaded at the present time, at the time the picture was taken. A couple other things to notice, coming over the hill from the bottom of the picture, that's the Bailey overland belts coming from the Crabapple Slope. Up at the top of the picture, this is the Enloe Fork overland belts coming from the Oak Spring Slope. Over here to the right, the pointer's kind of weak. This is our refuse belts heading out to the hill. This is the original refuse belt that is currently being tore down. We're going to put a new belt in there to our newest refuse site. That's our active refuse belt right there, 931. Talk a little bit about just the inception of the whole reserves, how things kind of started. As you can see, the original idea was to put five mines in the property to mine the reserves. That was in 1980. Construction began in 81. The shaft and the slope in 82. Development to connect those two underground was completed in 1984 around Memorial Day. The first longwall at Bailey started in 1985. The second longwall in 1986. The Enloe Fork slope and shaft, original slope and shaft, were actually a combined deal along with the Bailey slope and shaft, the first ones. So the Enloe Fork original shaft and the belt slope was completed in 83, but just due to the market and the timing of the reserves, the actual mine was not brought online until 7 years later. So that slope and shaft sat there, you know, waiting for the right time for 7 years. So development began in 1990. The first longwall started in 91, and the second longwall in 92. The mines, as you saw on the previous slide, were originally planned to be five mines in the operation, very short-lived, kind of short-lived mines, starting new mines every several years. So you could see as the mines got older in their history, we had started to have a lot of deterioration in our mainline belts and tracks, so we kind of had to move forward into how we were going to finish mining the reserves. So basically, the decision was made to continue Bailey and Enloe on Bailey and Enloe, and to bring a third mine on at a later time. In order to continue both of those coal mines, we couldn't keep going through the same infrastructure that we were going through underground just because of the age of the entries, and we really didn't plan for that length of a time originally. It was planned to put, you know, separate coal mines in. But with everything that's out there, the cost of putting a new coal mine in, the permitting, new prep plants, new slurry facilities, it's pretty much out of the question when you already have a mine in existence. So the decision was made to put new slopes in for both of those coal mines with overland belts to the existing prep plant, and that's part of the reason why. When you look at the reserve base, the original plan for the third coal mine was the Enloe Fork expansion, was to bring the mine in here to the north, was to move Enloe out to these reserves in the east. That would have required us to build another prep plant, another refuse site, another rail spur, a lot of additional costs when we already had the infrastructure at the Bailey plant, you know, was there. There was room for to increase that capacity, and we wouldn't have had to go through a lot of the additional costs of another slurry facility, another rail loadout, and all those additional costs. So the plan was changed to expand to the east with the new mine off the Enloe Fork bottom. But when we looked at the timing, when the Enloe Fork slope compared to the Bailey slope was going to get done, when the mines would be able to, you know, operate together on the same system, it was obvious for us to get to the new reserve the quickest and to be the most productive was to do the development off the Bailey bottom. So the final decision was made to keep Enloe mining to the north, to bring the Harvey mine in off the Bailey bottom up in this area right here, to attack these reserves out to the east. That was the quickest way to get to that coal seam, the lowest cost way, and the best way to time it all out with the other two mines continuing to run at full capacity. There's just a picture of the completed Bailey overland belts. Those were the project was started in 2005 and completed in April of 2010, which timed out with when the Harvey mine was going to begin production. looking at the Bailey bottom and some of the things we had to do to start that production. As you look around the Horn, 34 seals needed to be built to seal the Harvey mine from the Bailey mine. This work was actually started in 2008 with some smaller crews going over. These areas basically were all, everything was fell. Where we weren't actively using either a belt or a track, everything was pretty much caved in. So it was a big project to get to these sites, to get them rehabilitated, and to get the seals built. And while that was happening, we had to keep the south open, because this belt line right here is the belts heading into the one south at Bailey, and that's where the coal was still coming out of the coal mine from two long wells and eight continuous miner units. At the same time, we had to keep the area to the west open, the old abandoned area of Bailey, because we had to continue to examine that, because it was still being ventilated. So that all had to take place. That mine had to continue to run while all this rehabilitation work was going on. That sealing was completed in 2010. Just a picture there of one of the seals. We built several different kind of seals. And that's a picture of one of the Micon seals that was constructed. Some of the other things that had to be done in order to get ready for the Harvey mine on the surface. We talked about the plant upgrades that were needed. Some of the other more important things that we had to do, we got to get the coal off the property. We have the ability to store about 135,000 ton clean, about 165,000 ton raw on site. Okay, it's all enclosed storage. We have no open storage. So for the three mines, we have about 2 days of storage. If everything's empty, we can operate the coal mines for 2 days. So it's critical that we get the trains in and out of the facility as quick as possible. So we had to do a lot of upgrades to our surface facility. We have a 14.7-mile rail spur from Waynesburg to the plant, which we own. It's maintained by the NS, or the CSX, excuse me. So what we had to do on the surface, we had to increase our batchway load system to a 9,000-ton per hour batchway loadout system. We could load a 15,000-ton unit train in about an hour and a half. The only other place I think you'll find that is out the Powder River Basin out in Wyoming. We added a third rail spur, or a sidetrack. We added a sidetrack when Inlow was put in, another sidetrack when Harvey was put in, so we have the ability to load one train and have two other trains staged waiting to load. We also have a pusher track, because we need a pusher locomotive to get the coal over the hill coming off the property, so we have a spur for that also. So what you see in a couple, as we go around the photographs, just an overview of the plant. You can see the sidings that we have in place, and there's the dual batch loadout system. And there's the tire right there. We have a set of weigh cells in there. The coal comes into a hopper, it's dumped into a weigh cell, and we load the trains to about, it's in the 99%+ capacity. Just to picture some of the things we learned when, you know, we put Bailey and Inlow in. We knew we had to prepare for the long haul this time around. We knew that this was going to be in place for 30-plus years. So we did some additional stuff on the belt entries and the track entries, areas that we needed to maintain for the long haul. Mesh on the roof, mesh on the ribs, 15-foot wide channel on the roof, five bolts across, cable bolts in the center, and two bolts on either side on the outside with a T3 channel across the top. And that's a picture right there of the Harvey belt line. Some of the other things we did, we had a lot of trouble with the cross cuts, getting in and out of those belt entries and the track entries. So we did a lot of additional support in all of our cross cuts on our mainline belts and tracks. Some of the stuff that really looks good here is a cross cut with a man door in it. Everywhere we have a man door where we have track to belt access, we've done a lot of additional support. The other entries, we basically did just breakers on the rib line. Those are pictures of Harvey's mainline belt and track. Just looking at the development of the mine and how we got things started and basically what needed to be done to get the mine ready for full production. We started the CM development in January of 2009. That was, again, off the original Bailey bottom right over here. We had to mine a total of about 30,000 feet of mainline to get out to the portal and to the 7 North area. In the third quarter of 2010, the sealing of this area was completed, separating the two coal mines. We've developed this with one crew working three shifts a day. When we got out to the back end, the bleeder system, we added more crews. We added a crew to drive the tailgate, crew to drive the headgate. One thing that was very unique about this, because of the distance to get out here and get 7 North developed, In order to get this first panel running as quick as possible, we actually mined it in the reverse direction. So the panel mined from the right hand of the screen to the left hand. While that was going on, we continued to develop the 7 North area to get it prepared for the long haul. The main portal for the operation is located right in this area, Patterson Creek. Also, while we were mining this first panel out, we continued to develop up as far as we could to the back end of 3A here, our third panel. Our first longwall panel finished up at the end of last month. We started screening on May 26th. It says here we were scheduled to run the 15th of June. We actually got running June 11th, and that panel started right here, and we are now mining to the right. So right now, all the crews, everybody enters from the Patterson Creek side up into 7 North, and that's the life of the property, or the next 10 years anyway, heading up in that direction. The panel's 15,000 foot long, 1,500 foot wide, and they're the longest panels we have in the company. The panels at Bailey and Inlet are both 12,000 feet, so this was a little bit something new for us, but we've been very successful with it, so it looks like we're going to continue in that pattern moving forward. Got some pictures here of the longwall system. Longwall system comprised of cat shields, cat face conveyor, stage loader. The shears are joy shear. 262 shields on the face. About a 5 foot main seam bench. Pittsburgh 8, all three coal mines in the Pittsburgh 8 coal seam. That's a picture, a shot of the Patterson Creek portal. The portal was opened up in June, and at the same time, we dedicated and renamed the mine, the Harvey Mine. It was originally BMX, Bailey Mine Expansion. We named the mine after J. Brett Harvey, our outgoing CEO and present, currently chairman of our board of directors. You know, Brent was instrumental in what has happened throughout CONSOL, you know, over the last 15 plus years that he was CEO and president. Really instrumental in everything you see here today, the improvements that was made in all the coal mines and the start of the Harvey Mine, not to mention what he's done for safety for not only our company, but for the entire industry. So it's a great thing to have a coal mine named after him. His legacy will be able to live on for a long, long time, and he's well deserved of that. One of the other things that came along with the Harvey Mine, as you look into the future, was the Underground Training Academy right off the Bailey Bottom. If I could make this thing go backwards, I can. We'll get back there. Okay, when you look down here at the bottom left of the screen, you'll see our Underground Training Academy. When we developed the property heading out, we kind of left this set up to open that Underground Training Academy. And what we have is what we believe is the only true Underground Training Academy, actual equipment, actual mining section, where we can train our people and our foremen. That's just a quick shot of some of the classrooms underground. We have two classrooms underground. It's pretty much like being outside when you go down there. Let's see, you can see what they look like here in the bottom left. Very nice setup, got all the amenities of being out on the surface. We have two of those, and we also have an active section. Continuous miner, loader, shuttle car, roof boulders, our own belt system. We use that to train our new employees. We've used it to train our foremen on how to make proper examinations, how to manage a section. We have roof boulder classes. We have re-railing classes, train our people on how to properly put cars back on track. Shiving classes, how to shiv, lift equipment, move equipment around. We just continue to develop more and more training classes as necessary. But the big key is we bring new employees into our company, which over the last 5 years, there was a tremendous amount of new, brand new coal miners. They got to spend time down here, get the feel for what the equipment is like, the size of the equipment, the environment they're going to be working in. So that once they got into the kind of the hustle and the bustle of everyday, you know, operations, they had a little bit of feel of what they were going to encounter. So it's been very successful for us, and we continue to use this on a regular basis. We have a staff down there of a regular foreman, a maintenance foreman, and we have 3 hourly personnel to do the training. So we have a total of 5 people down there underground every day. Just a quick picture of the completion of basically the third project, which was the Enlow Fork Overland Belt, the Crabapple Slope. What you see there is the Crabapple Slope coming out of the coal mine way down here in the bottom. Silo feed belt, our 2 raw coal silos, and then the overland belt's heading to the prep plant. Prep plant's out in the distance out here. That was completed in the first quarter of last year. You know, some of the things looking to the future, You know, you heard me say it, at Inlo, we operate three long walls a lot of times due to the geology at the coal mine. We just can't make our production levels with two, so we have three complete longwall systems at Inlo. Bailey has two. When we put Harvey Coal Mine in, we put it in with the potential to have two. The infrastructure is in place to handle a two longwall system. So as we look out into the future, if the need is there, and it sure doesn't look like it is right now, but if it ever does happen, and let's hope it does, we'd be ready to ramp up. You know, so when you look at the operations as we stand today, you know, we have six longwall units running. We have 17 continuous miner units running today. We employ about 1,850 people, CONSOL employees underground, approximately 500 contractors underground and on the surface. You know, so you're looking at 2,300 to 2,400 people that are working every day. Okay, they've been doing that since 30 years ago. Since Bailey Mine started 30 years ago, we've been ramping up. We're there for the long haul. We have single employee jobs, where an employee can raise a family on one job. Okay, he doesn't have to have his wife working if he doesn't want to. So it's a sustainable operation. We plan to be around for the long haul. Close to 800 million clean tons of reserves left. It's been a great ride to this point. We know there'll be changes in the future. The industry changes every day. So we're out there looking for what's next. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a great learning experience. And we got a lot of good men and women to work for us. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Thank you. Yes, we do. Mainly, we do two methods. We drill underground, long holes underground, basically ahead of our continuous miner development. Don't have much methane issues with our long wall. We do on continuous miner development. So we degas with long hole drills underground to dissipate that methane, mainly at Inlo. From the surface in our gob, we drill gob wells prior to mining. We mine into those, and that allows the gob, the methane to bleed off of the gob, the longwall gob as we mine. You know, we run pretty decent amounts of methane, but we control it very well with the main ventilating fans plus our auxiliary fans. We run 20-inch tubing, so off our auxiliary fans, 120 horsepower, dual 60 horsepower motors, so we pull a lot of air, you know, over top the continuous miners. But yes, we do. But the bad part about that methane is we do not capture right now any of it. It's all going to the atmosphere. So the goal down the road is to capture that methane because we could put it to use. Any other questions? Okay. Hey, I appreciate your attention. Thank you.